piece of meat?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
What's up, film fans? Welcome back to some bonus episodes. Welcome back to the Cinema Movie Podcast. New format, new way of doing things. You guys can finally see us, hear us. I don't know about smell us yet, but we haven't gotten that quite yet kinked out. But I'm the host, Juan, and I am joined by the cast, the crew, the guys, Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys?
The 4K bad guy, Nick, making his Cinema Movie Podcast debut. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's an honor. You're talking about the smelling. I mean, I would imagine either you being Old Spice or an X guy. I don't know.
Yeah, or a Speed Stick, Irish Spring kind of guy. I don't know. but, I mean, if this was a 4D or you could smell, you know, in the first Jurassic Park, you know, big pile of shit. At least that Ian Malcolm talks about. But no, for real, thank you everybody for joining us visually and soon to be audio wise. But how's everybody had a good week? Zach, you doing good?
Doing good. Tomorrow's Friday, so it's always a bonus. So
bonus Friday's good. But I didn't know this until this was brought up to me. Zach, you said this is May 19th, Jurassic Park Lost World debuted in theaters May 19th, 1997. So I didn't know this, but we're doing it like right on the 25th anniversary.
25th anniversary is today. I kind of just thought about it and I was like, I was kind of curious when the movie originally came out. I knew it was 1997, but yeah, today, 25 years ago, this movie hit theaters.
Nice. And for those of you who have not like listened to a bonus episode, real simple, real quick, no ads, no segments. No sponsorship talk. We get in, we get out, we lay $5 down on the bed, and we say deuces, and we'll see you next week. We're just and we talk. Usually we talk about like all kind of different bonuses and stuff, and series, and A24 movies, Spider-Man, Friday the 13th that took like 16 weeks. But today is different. You know, Jurassic World Dominion hits theaters Friday June 10th. So we're talking Jurassic Park leading up to that movie. We already talked Jurassic Park 1 like 2 years ago. So if you guys want to listen to that episode or any of the other episodes that we've done, check them out in audio form over on Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, wherever you listen to podcasts. So, but a look back, like last week, Zach, we just, you know, a few days ago, we talked about Man of Steel.
Yeah.
It was a fun episode. Go back and listen to it. I was surprised everybody really praised that movie. I think everybody gave it like nines.
Yep.
So fun episode. Nick, if you had to rate Man of Steel, have you seen Man of Steel before? You big fan?
Unfortunately, I've not seen Man of Steel. Sorry to disappoint.
Oh, it's good. Superman,
you know, it's just, I find it hilarious because I watched Batman vs. Superman. That's technically, not technically. It is a sequel to that movie.
It is a sequel. I know a lot of people, though, who like a lot of, like, Batman movies and DC movies, but they just, like, man, Superman's just not that guy. We kind of talked about it Monday. Like, he's always taking the back seat to the bat, you know? Like, Batman's number one. So you guys can go back and listen to that episode, but now what's there to wait for? I don't think there's any time to wait. You guys can check us out on social media. We give out all kinds of giveaways. The Twitter is at Cinnamon405, Instagram one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Facebook is facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast. Nick, where can we find you guys at though? Friday the 14th. We do all kinds of all different horror movies every week, but they can also follow your personal page too as well. Where's your personal page at?
We're doing with the Instagram page at the 4K Bad Guy. I have a YouTube channel, but that's kind of slowly getting back to the works. I only have 2 videos. Not very proud of them, but they're there. Yeah, the 4K Bad Guy. Occasionally, I mean, I think it's been like maybe, I don't know, it's been a while, right? So I posted something. So I should get back on that though.
So yeah, like Instagram is where it's at. You guys can find a lot of our social media posts, giveaways, all kinds of stuff. The Instagram is the easiest way to find it. You can just click that link tree in the bio and everything pops up. But today, let's get to it. We're talking about The Lost World, Jurassic Park. Debuted May 19th, 1997, with a budget of $73 million. The sequel grossed a little over $620 million at the box office. IMDb has it at 6.5, Rotten Tomatoes at 53%. The Metascore is at 59%, and the Google users have it at 88%. So this movie is like really, really mixed. A research team is sent to the Jurassic Park site B Island to study the dinosaurs there while an engine team approaches with another agenda. Starring Jeff Goldblum, Julianne Moore, Pete Postlewaite, Kinzentai, Vince Vaughn, Richard Attenborough, Vanessa Chester, directed by Steven Spielberg. Which this is based off of a novel. I know we talked about it in the very, very first episode, but the original one is based off of a novel as well. Before we get into the movie, we usually talk, we'll bring up the director, Steven Spielberg. I mean, if you know, he's done a crap ton of stuff, E.T., Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan, Indiana Jones, just a crap ton of stuff. Jurassic Park 1, 2. Zach, we'll start with you. Do you have just a one overall favorite Steven Spielberg movie?
Yeah, I mean, if you guys listen to our show, for sure, like, you know, I'm probably the Spielberg nut on the episode. I've seen all of his movies. I could probably name off top 5 right off the bat, but probably without a doubt, my favorite is the original Jurassic Park. I mean, that truly was probably maybe one of the first movies I ever saw growing up as a kid. And it kind of reminded me, every time I watch it, it reminds me why I love the movies. So,
Nick, do you have a favorite Spielberg movie that you can think of off the top of your head?
It's off my head. It's a tough question. I don't know. I'm just going to say one for my, cause I'm pretty young. So, Artificial Intelligence, I think that's a pretty cool movie. I haven't seen it in a while, but I think that's one of the cooler movies.
Artificial Intelligence. This might be a shock to some people, but I would honestly have to say Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones was literally forced down my throat as a child. 1, 2, and 3. And I think it's just a sentimental thing, really, because my dad just, I don't know if he just forgot that he just watched it, but some days he would watch it and then the next day watch it again. So growing up, there was only one TV in the house until I was old enough to really afford another TV. So what he watched just sunk into my brain. But we'll dig into it. Lost World, Jurassic Park. Zach, we'll start with you. Do you remember the first time that you got to see this movie? And what was it like revisiting it for this episode?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, without a doubt, I saw this in the theater when I was 5, 6, whenever, however old I was when this came out. You know, as a kid, you really enjoy something as a kid, and you have it high praised. But the older you get, you kind of realize, this is not as good as I remember it being. But Lost World, I think, you know, we'll probably get into it about the just like the overall reaction to this film. I still like it. You know, I don't think it's as good as the first Jurassic Park, but it still has its moments. And, you know, anytime, I mean, the fact that you're still dealing with dinosaurs and kind of new scenarios, I mean, I think you had to still do something new with it, but I still like this movie. So,
Nick, man, what about you? Have you checked out this movie before? If not, what was it like revisiting it for the episode?
I'm being completely honest. I mean, this was like my first full-on watch as seeing it as a whole. I think probably seeing bits and pieces from early childhood. But, man, I was watching this movie like the whenever I saw one scene, it's like, oh, why that was the only scene I remember throughout this whole movie.
But, I remember this, seeing this, I think, like in the drive-in when I was like maybe 7 or 8. And this was like, Zach, you said you remember like the first one, like when that movie came out, I was like 3. So I honestly don't remember anything about the first one until I was 7 or 8. And then when this movie came out, I was like, you know, obsessed, got the VHS, some of the toys and stuff. But like, I thought this movie was just fantastic younger. And as I got older, there are certain pieces that kind of irritate me about it. But almost watching this one back to back with the original, like, it's really not fair to compare. So I'm not going to compare to the original. But I thought this one was a pretty fun movie to rewatch.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of dig into it.
I mean, and to be fair, I mean, that's a really tough gig to follow the first Jurassic Park. So you just have to, you know, just go out swinging, and you know, some parts work, some parts don't. But you know, overall, I still think it's a good movie.
I do like how you guys get introduced to the new island with the rich family. Yeah. The little girl who gets attacked by the little creatures. Really fun opening scene. So, what'd you guys think of that? Getting introduced to the new little dinosaur creatures. Did you guys like the opening, or did you not really care for it, or were you just excited to see Jeff Goldblum?
Always excited to see Jeff Goldblum. No, man.
It's a weird opening because, you know, I think it's supposed to be this is a whole new site, like you said, Johnny, and it's supposed to be a lot more frightening. They added like a lot more horror vibes to this film. And then, like, when the mom runs around the corner and she screams, it's like, cuts automatically to Jeff Goldblum. I was like, all right. So it's just kind of like a weird, really weird transition.
What did you think of Jeff Goldblum? The first time you see him, he's a lot different looking from the first one. Mm-hmm. But he's sitting down trying to read his magazine on his way to see John, and this weird guy on the subway just comes and bugs him.
You're the guy.
You also get a look at Tim and what's the little girl's name, Zach?
Lex.
You remember? Lex.
Yeah, from the first film, yeah.
They haven't been seen again since this movie, right?
Yep, that's the last time I saw Tim and Lex, because I think that those two actors, I know the girl doesn't act anymore. I think it wasn't the boy, wasn't he in Bohemian Rhapsody? He played one of the band members.
I don't fucking know that. I didn't know that at all. He was in like some weird 90s kid flick. Or wasn't he in Shazam or Kazam with Shaq?
I don't know that.
Let's see. I don't know. I'm going to start getting into just a little bit of groundwork here, because the moment this movie kind of kicks off, you slowly start seeing some seeds being planted for Jurassic World. At least I felt that. I didn't know if you guys felt that at all. Like the way John Hammond is explaining what he wants the island to become. But not only that, but like trying to save these animals because they're on this island, and this movie to me felt like a Jurassic World prequel. Like, I think it would be okay if you watched this one, skip 3, and then go right into Jurassic
World. Hey, skip 3, straight up.
Yeah.
Can you make a comparison to like a Star Wars? Like, you know, they made the originals first and then went back.
The prequels.
Was the opposite version.
Well, I just rewatched Jurassic Park 3, so I can
skip it.
Go behind that, yeah.
Nick, have you seen any of the other ones lately? Or
lately? Yeah. No, unfortunately.
I think. Zach, do you know, are any of the other ones on HBO Max too, or are they like on Peacock or?
I know the first three are on HBO Max, one, two, and three, and I think Jurassic World.
I don't know. We usually try to pick a movie that's easy for the listeners or now viewers to kind of like go watch and join us along too. So
let me look. Jurassic World is not, the first one's not streaming anywhere, and then let's see, Fallen Kingdom. Fallen Kingdom isn't streaming anywhere other. So you can both rent it for like $3.99 on Apple TV or Amazon Prime, which is weird.
Yeah, you would think with that being like a universal movie that should be on Peacock.
Yeah, especially since the new one's coming out. I'm surprised they haven't put those two on there yet.
I'm sure you both, I'll let both of you guys talk. What did you think about John Hammond kind of lowballing Ian Malcolm and sending his girlfriend to the island and trying to cover up the book? Like, nah, you don't need to know that she's down there.
It's interesting. John Hammond, to be honest, I haven't read the books. Honestly, it's one of those things I just haven't got around to, but I know from just research that actually Malcolm and John Hammond, spoiler alert for a 30-year-old book, but those two died in the original book. And oh, so sure. They survived in the movie, and by this point, Michael Crichton, who wrote the books, he, when he was writing The Lost World, he was trying to think of things that Spielberg could actually film, and so this is a lot of just made-up stuff, and stuff that, you know, if they were going to make a movie about, make a new one, what kind of stuff that could they film? And I think Hammond, and you guys can jump in if you want, I think he's more of like a like conservationist in this film. Like he's just trying to save the dinosaurs and just keep it people from going to the island and everything. But that doesn't really make up for the mad scientist vibes he had in the original film. So it's an interesting characterization in the second film. And then him kind of using Sarah and against Malcolm to go on the trip is kind of, yeah. Like you said, Johnny, it is a low blow and kind of unsportsmanlike, to be honest.
Yeah, had to beat him in somehow, right?
Right.
Yeah, Nick, I was gonna say, like, I the older I get, I feel like Hammond is just like a rich piece of garbage. I know that sounds really like harsh, but in the first one, he baits them all in with all this money, and you know, and then the second one, it's even like worse because he's baiting them in with now like, oh, I know you won't go with money, so let me just send your girlfriend in and you'll follow her, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think the character is much more interesting in the first film just because you get to see like where he comes from and why he wanted to create something that was so unrealized and truly something that, you know, people could look forward to. And you know, when you play God, you know, there are consequences for those actions. And this one, he's only in the movie for about
5 minutes.
10 minutes maybe. Yeah, at the beginning, at the very end. So
he passed away not too long after this. And never mind.
2014.
Jesus.
Yep. Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't invite him back for any of the other ones then.
Well, when you watch three, the you know.
Yeah.
But like four, I mean, I think he died right before Jurassic World started filming. So, I mean, this is really the last time we actually see the Hammond character, unless you count like statues and stuff that are seen in the Jurassic World.
You get to meet the crew right after this scene. You meet Nick. Not the bad guy, Nick. not the bad guy. You meet Nick Van Owen, played by one tall, lengthy Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
You meet Eddie, played by Richard Schreiff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet Kelly, played by Vanessa Chester.
And then Sarah, played by Julianne Moore.
I don't know about you guys, but...
Johnny, it's not that type of podcast. It's okay.
Mm. I had a hard time liking both female characters in this movie on this last rewatch. I didn't like the Kelly based pushed out drama with, I didn't like the Kelly drama. And then, I don't know, Julianne Moore just didn't fit this movie for me. What did you guys think? Nick, did you like the little girl being introduced and being kind of shoved into the story?
I feel like she was just there to generally play a major part. So, Ian has a daughter.
Usually I didn't mind her. And yeah, but this recent watch, I was just like, nah, don't like her. Don't want her in the movie. And then it got worse throughout the film for me. But Zach, what about you? I mean, you're the big Jurassic Park, fanatic. This is the first time that we've talked about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you enjoy her as a character, or are you just like, how did you feel?
On this watch, I'm not expecting you guys to know this because, you know, I'm the nerd of the group, basically, when it comes to Spielberg. But he had just had kids at this point, and so it's is almost kind of like a new way of looking at being a parent and child and raising a kid in dangerous situations and all this and that. But I mean, I agree. It's just kind of, it's needlessly put in there. Like, I know they set it up in the first movie of him saying he has three kids and all this, but I mean, you don't, it's interesting that these movies have a continuous need to put kids in these dangerous situations. I mean, even this one, the third one, fourth, Jurassic World and even Fallen Kingdom, it's just kind of like
they're all based around kids.
Yeah, and like I mean, Spielberg, if you just want to kill a kid, eat, get eaten by dinosaur, just go ahead and do it. I mean, you know,
you look at that.
And we all know Ed would enjoy that.
You look at that, and like all his movies, is it not true? There's a kid in danger in every single movie.
His
Empire of the Sun, Schindler's List, E.T. All the Jurassic
War of the Worlds.
He wants to see a kid get it.
If you know the Spielberg documentary I made you watch, Johnny, that was on HBO.
Yeah.
You know how they talked about he kind of had just kind of like it wasn't a bad childhood, but you know, he's a product of divorce, and so he's always trying to a Spielberg trope, if you will, is always like having like the divorced father or the divorced kid, and like what are the repercussions or how does that affect the child in this type of situation, you know, like with
So what you're saying is he should have directed Big Daddy with Adam Sandler.
You're trying to kill someone there.
An interesting film.
Secretly Spielberg wrote the line, "I wipe my own ass." That's what we're trying to say, right?
Secretly, I think he directed all Adam Sandler movies, but you know,
I didn't like the forcedness and the drama of Kelly, and I know they threw that in there, but I did love the chemistry of Nick, Eddie, and Ian. Like those three were funny in some of the scenes that they were in.
The dudes.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't really care for Julianne Moore much. Nick, what about you? Did you like Sarah in this movie? I mean, I just felt like she was also like a little annoyance and in the way, and she wasn't listening to anybody.
Yeah, she was just essentially a bait. I mean, it could have just revolved around the three dudes and Ian. Vince Vaughn, call Vince Vaughn. I find it interesting, like Vince Vaughn's placement, because I mean, I didn't know him around this time, of course, until like, Dodgeball. That's like, to me, that's like one of his more known movies.
Yeah.
So then revisiting his movies, like, oh, Vince Vaughn, all right.
Yeah, and this was at a weird point in Vince Vaughn's like career. He did like the remake of Psycho. He was also in. Which I mean, I don't know, Nick. Remake of Psycho, maybe it's underrated.
Swingers, oh shit!
He did Swingers before this, and then Psycho was after that, and then 2000, the early 2000s is when he did like Zoolander, Starsky and Hutch, Old School, Dodgeball, Anchorman,
Wedding Crashers, Start Blowing Up, 2000s.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, Nick, don't tell me you really love this Psycho remake that he was just so amazing in.
No, I mean, I remember a long time ago I saw like a glimpse of it. I was like, oh, what is this? But I never finished it off. But I just know Vince Vaughn starred in a Psycho movie. I was like, shit.
Oh. I personally have never seen it, but I've read that it's just a shot for shot remake of Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. So
Gus Van Sant wanted to know what Psycho would look like with really shitty actors and in color. That's what it is.
Hey, you watch your mouth, sir. Vince Vaughn is not a shitty actor.
I didn't say it was Vince Vaughn, but there were other people in there.
I wanted to bring up this question. What do you guys think of the CGI in this movie? Like, Nick, I know you said you didn't get to watch the original before this one, but for a 97 movie, did you like the CGI?
I was a little picky, but like, I know the year. It was good. I didn't get to see it in 4K. I would imagine there's a little bit, it looks a little, I don't know, maybe a little worse than 4K. Or is it good?
I gotta agree as well. Like, to me, and Zach, you can justify too, putting up the 93 CGI against the 97 CGI, I felt like some scenes in the original Jurassic Park looked better than The Lost World.
Yeah, I would agree. I think even the animatronics looked a little bit better in the original than in this one. I think anytime it's like a dark scene, the CGI looks better than it does in light, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's always most notable in the daylight. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Very smudgy. And
did that person just walk through the dinosaur?
It was Sarah. She did it. No, but the animatronics, that was always one of the best things out of the Jurassic World movies, Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. The animatronics.
Do you guys have a movie that like you can just repeat off the top? You say someone says, "Tell me the entire thing of Jurassic Park or Halloween." Are you able just to, from memory, remember the whole entire thing?
Nick, I'll let you go first.
Let me go first. You know, the older you get, your memory starts getting whack. It's kind of crazy. So I mean, there's some movies that just, it's kind of hard to keep it all memorized.
Mm-hmm.
The only movie that I can probably sit and think about like that and then probably watch over and over again would be the 1989 Batman.
There you go.
Yeah. Like, at least that's my movie that I can just, sometimes I'm even like, if I'm having a bad day, I'll just put it in just so I can hear the movie and it kind of like calms me down.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, just throw in a movie, I'll say Dumb and Dumber, I guess. That's a movie.
Yeah.
Well, the most annoying sound in the world.
Well, the reason I ask is because it's like, in my mind's eye, I can basically tell you the entire thing of the original Jurassic Park from opening credits to the helicopter flying off into the sunset. This one, and even the rest of them, they're like, these are moment movies. And what I mean is like, there are certain scenes and sequences that I really, really dig and like. And that's all I can remember from them, basically. Like in this one, I forgot there was like between Ian visiting John Hammond to the T-Rex attack on the RV and all that. I can't remember anything from that sequence, from that part of the film. And then from the RV sequence to probably when the ship docks this in San Diego. Like in the Raptor sequence, there's really in between those scenes, I can't remember much about it. So,
yeah, this movie does feel like, you know, it's more of a moment movie. Like, I do like, one of the things I did like though was the invasion, if you will, of the engine team, of them coming in, just like, you know, when he catches Kelly cooking at the RV site, and then you see them come in. I'm almost expecting to hear the Flight of the Valkyrie song come in, you know, the dun 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 dun. That's what I was expecting. I thought, I was like, oh, that'd be pretty cool. But Some of the engine crew members I didn't really enjoy, but the one I did enjoy the most, and I have it here, is Roland,
yeah,
which is the T-Rex hunter. I thought he was one of the more enjoyable engine members. What about you guys? Did you guys have somebody that you were just like, even if it's one of the main crew members, like Sarah or Eddie or Nick, was there a guy that or a girl that you just was like, you know what? I like this character. I like where they fit in this movie.
To be honest, Roland is really the only fleshed out character in the engine team, other than maybe the nephew, John Hammond's nephew, Peter, which I don't think he even has a good characterization. He's just like a money grubbing person that's just trying to bank on his uncle's vision. Lilo's the only one that kind of sticks out to me. Or Roland, I'm sorry. Roland's the only one that sticks out. What about you, Nick?
Besides Jay Sane, the main guy.
You can admit it. You like Sarah. Let's just go ahead and get it over with.
I like the bad guy when he... that guy was kind of a dick, though. Like, he had that that shocker, or was it?
Oh,
yeah.
That guy.
It's a pretty bad character, but it was like, I don't know.
Oh, the one that gets eaten by the little dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Dieter, I think his name is.
Stark.
Man,
Stark is actually.
Where is he? He is. Isn't he?
He's the Russian dude from Armageddon.
Doesn't he also play Abominable?
And, Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's not him?
No, that's Tim Roth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tim Roth. No.
Yeah, Abominable.
Oh, he's from Fargo. That's where I know him.
Yeah, he's the bad guy from Fargo. Yeah. Fargo.
He just plays bad guys.
He's also in, I think he's in John Wick Chapter 2. He's like one of the bad guys in the beginning of that. And,
typecasting.
Bad guy. I think.
No wonder you like him, Nick.
By default, I mean.
The first T-Rex, attack I thought was pretty cool. The RV scene, mm-hmm. Eddie gets ripped apart. One of the best kills, I think, and not only the second one, but the first one, too. It's one of the more unique kills from a T-Rex, or from both of them, I guess. He gets ripped in half.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they kind of went back on their word, I think, because in the first one, doesn't the T-Rex, doesn't attack the same place twice, is what they say. But in this one, they attacked the same place twice. They attacked the RV when they went and got their baby. Mm-hmm. And then Eddie goes and saves the day. And then they come back and attack the place and feed upon Eddie. I mean, that's probably just me nitpicking and taking my notes. But, they went back on their word.
Well, I mean, does anyone know what a real T-Rex would do? I mean...
I don't study stomach.
I looked it up here. National Geographic says no. I'm just messing
with
I mean, Nick, you deal with dinosaurs in your day job, so you can tell me.
I do. I thought me and the dinosaurs are pretty. They're pretty assholes. we gave back your baby. It's like, we're taking off. Nah, I'm psyched. Coming back.
Go get a snack.
It's like, damn.
I guess Eddie was a pretty good snack, I guess.
First, they push off the, is it RV, I guess? The little
mobile
station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, push off the ledge, and then he's get that little dinosaur sharing moment. They just rip him open. Like, I don't know if that's, it's terrifying. Is it romantic for dinosaurs? What is that?
Sarah was looking like getting off on it too. Like she was smiling from ear to ear. Like, all right, bitch, let's close the door. Come back inside. Let them take their kid and move on. But stuff like the small scenes that she was just like she going saving the baby T-Rex. Not answering the phone or not like Nick, come help me. You can't answer the phone.
It's almost like, you know how when you watch movies and the characters do dumb stuff just so they can get in danger? It's kind of like that a little bit.
That's true. I was hoping that she would get eaten, even though I knew the outcome of the movie. I'm like, can she just not? Can we get a director's cut, please? I was hoping that lucky backpack didn't
save her. No, in the original version, she gets she doesn't. When she's trying to get out from under the door, she gets eaten from the rafters.
There's a lot of new dinosaurs in this one compared to the first one. Whole bunch of different ones. We're not gonna like sit and name them all, including the little creatures that attack the little girl at the beginning, and then the ones who also kill Dietra in the middle of the movie. Which I thought his death was pretty cool. Eddie's death is probably the best of the movie.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of the second T-Rex attack? Again, she's still wearing her jacket that has the baby T-Rex blood all over it. She wouldn't think to take it off and dispose of it. Even Roland notices it, and he's like, "Are you wounded?" And she's like, "No." And he's like, "Well, why the fuck are you wearing that with blood on it? Like, they can smell that, you know?"
Exactly.
Like, I mean, he should have just took his gun out and shot her right then and there. Judah! Like, from the first
one. I was waiting to see how long that was going to take. The second attack where they're, like, running through the forest and that one guy gets, like, stomped on horribly.
Oh, man.
That's probably the second worst death of the movie. And then this one is a lot more... I think this one's a little bit more fast-paced when it comes to the action, because they all run into the waterfall, and then that one guy, the snake goes down his shirt, and then he gets eaten. So, and then straight after that, you get the raptors. All the guys are going through like the tall grass, and they get taken out one by one, basically.
You know, I forgot about that. He looks like the guy who's narrating the Titanic. In James Cameron's Titanic, like the chubby guy with the red beard.
Yeah. So he's got his whole ass up in the air.
But yeah, I forgot about that death scene, and then the water fountain just turns red.
Oh
yeah.
The blood fountain.
Yeah.
That was hilarious, man. Like the snake you see, it's always like, oh shit, I gotta get this thing. But you know the T-Rex is on the other side. It's like I can just he's afraid of getting bit by the snake, but you're right, gonna die. You'd rather die with a T-Rex.
Exactly.
What would you guys pick? Would you take the, would you move and try to get the snake out of your shirt, or would you just, you know what, I got a snake in my shirt, there's a T-Rex out there, fuck it, I'm gonna get it over with.
Just deal with the snake, bro, you'll be fine.
Grab it out, throw it at the T-Rex.
Here's a little snack.
There's a snake in my shirt, so he's trying to worry over it.
Zach, you mentioned it. Raptors. The raptors, I felt like the raptor scene was kind of just forced.
It's almost like they didn't belong or something.
Yeah, like we're at an hour and a half. Let's hurry up and put the raptors in there before we get to San Diego.
I think the raptors had a lot more. They had better scenes in the first one than they did in this one. Because it's almost like you said, Johnny, they were like forced upon. And then you get that amazing sequence with the gymnastics with Kelly. And kicks the raptor out of the building. I'm just like, wow.
Nick, were you a fan of the almost, you could almost say horror-like element of the raptors stalking the main three people in this movie, like Sarah, Kelly, and Ian? Like the raptors almost had that horror chase scene. Like there ended up being like three or four of them, and
there's two like digging underneath the dirt, and there's one that's trying to get at Ian.
There's that one dinosaur that was on top of the roof. It kind of reminded me of like Michael Myers Halloween 4. it was funny because when she Sarah pulls down the shingles, top of the roof down. Yeah. And they just fall off. The dinosaur falls off. And then
they start fighting each other.
Hey, what the hell, bro? And they start, yeah. Distraction.
And the funny thing is like after that sequence, like we go back to San Diego and we get the T-Rex in the city and everything. But like Vince Vaughn, he like calls for help, and then you see him on the plane, and then that's it. He disappears from the rest of the movie. It's like Spielberg was like, all right, I'm done with y'all. I'm done with you.
We can't afford your contract anymore. Just let him go.
You got that Psycho remake to go do, so go ahead and do that.
What did you think of the original, not original, but the Roland, like almost Roland had a better exit of the movie than Vince Vaughn did. Like Roland just sitting there looking like super depressed. And
at least he had an exit. I mean, they explain like why he's not in the movie.
Right. But you know, Peter comes and talks to him and is like, hey, why the long face? You got the Rex, you got the baby, you know, you got your money. And he was like, it was like kind of sentimental, like RJ didn't make it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a really good exit, I think, in the movie. And I am surprised with, you know, the three movies that follow, he never gets another. Yeah, he never gets brought back. And I don't know, maybe with this new Dominion, they're bringing back so many legacy characters. Maybe he might make a small appearance, especially since he's like, you know, in the new one, it looks like the world is coming to an end because of all the dinosaurs. Maybe he gets a scene with a shotgun. He's like, I got to shoot.
Well, that'd be a good idea if the actor wasn't dead.
Oh, is he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He died like 10 years ago.
Damn. 10 years ago? So,
yep.
See, Zach, that's why we pay you the big bucks, man. You just know this Jurassic Park.
He's worth it.
I can just let you talk and be like, yeah, like the guy who they thought was going to be in Jurassic World Dominion, yeah, he's been dead for 10 years, bro.
You've been living on a rock that day.
I mean, if Doctor Strange can come back dead, maybe he can too.
Oh, Jesus. Why do you have to remind me about that?
Spoiler alert. I feel like the movie should have ended without the San Diego scene. I know I might get some flack for this. You guys can you know, give it to me if you want. But like, I felt like the movie did not need the San Diego, the big T-Rex in the city scene. Nick, I'll start with you. Did you like the that second ending? Like, you know, the movie seems like it's over, and then you get, there's a T-Rex running loose in the city.
I don't know, but I like to make comparisons to their movies for whatever reason, but it was like Jason Takes Manhattan. Towards the end of the movie, you gotta be placed somewhere else. I mean, it's a little cheesy, but I thought it was kind of cool visuals to see. You see a T-Rex outside your, not your house, but the little boy's house. Mm-hmm. And he's just drinking the water in it. That dog scene. Or even the bus question to a Blockbuster.
the bus scene was cool. Or even when he's at the edge of the cliff and he like roars right into the city.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals are cool. Yeah, the visuals are pretty cool.
The guy who gets eaten, that's trying to get into that building, that gets,
oh man,
that's actually the screenwriter of the movie. David Kep. He gets eaten.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people watch this, like, yeah, people that are younger than us, and they see the bus go into a Blockbuster and they say, what's a Blockbuster? Like, that's the more extinct thing in this movie than the dinosaurs.
I mean, you nailed it. It's sad but true. There's probably more dinosaurs on the earth than Blockbusters right now.
Yeah.
What about when the Asians were running away from the big dinosaur and they kept looking back? I'm like,
Don't do it.
Is Steven Spielberg like trying to get a Godzilla? I knew it was coming. I'm like, I was like, all right, so many years later, it's pretty funny.
that scene's ruined forever now.
I'll throw another reference in. That's probably my last one.
Which one?
The baby T-Rex. All I kept thinking about when they're running around with them, I kept thinking Yoshi from Super Mario Bros.
He sounded like Yoshi from Mario Brothers. Well, that's another thing we can bring up. Like, the baby T-Rex was almost the MacGuffin in the whole movie. you know, you have John Hammond talking about life finds a way, spreading the seeds for Jurassic World, Jurassic World San Diego.
You see, I thought that was the MacGuffin of the movie. That's only brought up like towards like the last like 30 minutes of the movie. You don't even know why
Jurassic World San Diego.
Yeah, you don't really know why engine's coming out for this getting these dinosaurs, and then like it's a weird scene where it's just like, oh yeah, by the way, you know who wants to go to an island when we can do it right here in San Diego? And you're just like, what? Like, where did that plot thread come into play?
But it's almost like they just drop it anyway because Jurassic World, it's like on another island anyway, right?
I think Jurassic World is on the original island that the first movie was. Isla Nublar, I think it is.
Jesus.
I haven't rewatched Jurassic World, so I could be lying, so.
Yeah, the San Diego thing kind of, I mean, you could be right, the engine thing could be, but I just felt like the whole movie was, like, based around this baby T-Rex, because, like, it's what leads to the RV getting dumped over, it's what leads Roland to do what he needs to do, and then at the end of the movie, it's what Ian and Sarah need to get the T-Rex back onto the ship.
Yeah, that's true.
This whole movie felt like it revolved around the little baby T-Rex. Did you guys name the T-Rex at all in the movie? Little baby T?
Little baby T?
I call him Rex.
Now, next time you watch this movie, just imagine instead of holding baby Yoshi, it's Rex from Toy Story.
Yeah.
I don't want to use my head.
I don't want to reuse my leg.
And you know, the movie ends, and you know, Peter gets his due. He gets eaten, ironically, by the baby T-Rex, and then, you know, they send the ship back off to Isla Sorna. And I think, and you guys can comment on this, I kind of think that the series could have ended just there. You know, the dinosaurs do their thing. We leave them alone. It's a conservation, like from the Puerto Rican government, that no tourists can go there, and that's it. Just end it right there. So,
but you know, it made almost $1 billion, so they have to make another one.
Like you said, this only made 620. I mean, the last one made since then it's made $1 billion. Even the next one,
620 though, that's a lot of money in 1997.
Well, Jurassic Park 3. That only made $368 million.
Wait, don't spoil it. We'll talk about it next week.
No, we'll talk about why it only made $368 million, but you know.
Golly.
So, but I mean, go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, I want to, because you already kind of mentioned it, but how, how do I forget his name? Be honest, the main guy. My screen's freezing up over here. Not Jeff Goldblum, but the main bad guy.
John Hammond.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, the T-Rex, the mother T-Rex, I would assume. She takes like a bite out of his leg, but I feel like he knows salt that. Like, sure, he was like a little afraid, but like, I'm pretty sure if you got bit by a T-Rex, it would have hurt and do a lot of damage.
Oh, Peter, you ain't gonna be moving after you get bit by a T-Rex.
And he was still trying to move away, like, what the hell? What is that?
Yeah, I could agree with that. Like, my judgment of casting, like, I'd never heard of this guy. So to have him be, like, the other big bad billionaire that's trying to take this baby away from from John Hammond, like, he's trying to take this whole idea away, like, I feel like that role should have been maybe a different actor. Like, it should have been to somebody who maybe a little bit more well-known instead of just this jack-off who nobody really likes at all. Which, I mean, he played his role good. Nobody liked him. I don't think, you know, I didn't like him. I'm sure you guys thought he was a big goof-ass.
I think what you mean is, like, why didn't they cast, like, a main person? Like, I don't know, like... Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
You know, just someone that, like, you just know, like, you see him, just like, I hate that guy, you know?
It's going to be what dinosaurs want.
Yeah.
What would a T-Rex do?
The passion of the dinosaurs.
I do like the way it ended with Hammond kind of, like you said, Zach, giving light into the new island.
Mm-hmm.
But they tease what is going to probably happen in the third one. It makes me wonder if some of it was already planned out or written out. But the very last thing you see is the huge, terrifying pterodactyl, which, you know, is growing up as a little kid. That's one of the most popular dinosaurs, you know, T-Rex, long necks, raptors, pterodactyl. You didn't see it in the first one, didn't see it in the second one, but
you saw it in the third one.
You saw it in the last 10 seconds of this movie.
Yeah.
And then they bring it into the third one.
Yeah.
Zach, I'll start with you. What did you think of that final ending? You know, even though you know how bad Jurassic Park 3 is, did it get you excited? Were you like, all right, a pterodactyl again? Or were you just like, oh, no?
No, it's cool that they end the movie with a dinosaur we haven't seen. I mean, we saw the T-Rexes, we saw the raptors, we saw the stegosaurus, the brontosaurus, so on and so forth. It was kind of nice just to end on something we hadn't seen, which was a pterodactyl, and kind of it's almost like the dinosaurs they've taken the land and now they're about to take the air. I guess you get a metaphor of that stature. And, you know, that obviously plays a huge part in Jurassic Park 3. And it looks like, you know, judging by the trailers, looks like that'll be a thing in Dominion as well.
Nick, what about you, man? Did you like the ending with, you know, just the ending of the film period, and then what did you think of the pterodactyl scene?
That was nice. Peaceful ending. I say peaceful. that was lovely. I mean,
everybody dies. The dinosaurs.
Everyone dies.
And that's true. I mean, you could have. It could have been like a peaceful ending. We don't really know, at least at this point, if you're brand new to the Jurassic Park 2 and haven't seen 3 yet. Like, you're like, oh, nice peaceful pterodactyl, but little do we know, those things are vicious.
Yeah.
Anybody have any favorite scenes that they want to, like, name off before we reveal the massive star rating? I'll name just a few scenes. I won't name, like, the whole movie. Just a funny thing. Vince Vaughn spitting into Julianne Moore's hand when she said spit and she was meaning the gum. That's funny. Eddie getting torn apart by the T-Rex was cool. And then the second any scenes with the T-Rex was cool. So I'm gonna just say the T-Rex scenes. And honestly, I enjoy Roland. I think Roland is my underrated actor of the movie. Even though that's never a thing, I don't know why I said that, but I think I really enjoyed him more than I thought I would this time around. So.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, what about you? Do you have any favorite scenes?
Yeah, I feel like you took the dialogue out of my mouth, really. essentially, that's what I mean. T-Rex scenes. I'll go with the snake. The guy with the snake. That was pretty hilarious. It wasn't supposed to be intended to be hilarious, but it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Snake in my shirt.
Snake in my shirt.
You said. I'm gonna go with the RV attack and Eddie's death are probably the two. I think that's like the standout sequence of the movie, to be honest. Everything else is kind of hearsay a little bit. Like when the guy gets like stomped on, when they're running from the T-Rex is cool. The city attack is cool, but I mean, like, when I think of the Lost World, I always think of the RV and then Eddie's death when he gets ripped apart. That's like the main scene of this film.
Yeah. Those are some pretty good scenes. I was really excited to see what everybody's star rating is. So, star rating, if this is the first time checking us out on this channel, our star ratings are, or if this is the first time listening to us and you've never listened to a bonus episode or a main episode, our star rating scale is 1 to 10. 1, 2, and 3 being like complete dog shit. 4, 5, and 6 being, you know, it's fine. 7 and 8 being I'd watch it again. 9 and 10 just being orgasmic, I guess. So, you know, 1 through 10. Nick, first timer right here. What's your star rating for The Lost World?
Let's put me on the spot right now. Oh, man.
The orgasmic 9.
Oh, man. I feel like that would be, you know, because I'm like back and forth with this.
Was this really your first watch? You've never seen this movie before?
First full on watch, yeah.
Okay. And what we like to say here is give us your 110% honest opinion.
I'm a lie, now, man.
If you're like, man, this movie is just you know, dog shit, power of the dog shit, and I just don't want anything to, like, just give it to us.
I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's Power of the Dog bad.
You know what? I'm going with a 7.
Nice.
I can go in between, right? Or 7.5.
Or yeah, you can put in that 0.5.
I'll put that 0.5.
I'm gonna go with a 7. You know, I think this movie is, again, everybody says it's hard to follow the first Jurassic Park, but I think this one is still fun, and I think it has cool moments, even if I'm sitting here nitpicking Sarah and Kelly and, you know, some of the other scenes. But I think, truthfully, with an honest opinion, after today's watch, I had fun. I laughed. I had some serious sad moments. And then, you know, it's badass seeing a giant T-Rex just tear up some shit, so... these movies are always going to be like close to me. And when you're small, you like to see dinosaurs just kick the shit out of things. So, I still have fun time watching it. So, this movie's a 7 for me. Zach, you want to finish us off? What's your star rating?
Yeah. I mean, you guys basically summarized it perfectly. I mean, it's a hard task and job to follow up from the first Jurassic Park, but I think Spielberg gave it his all. He did the best he could do, and you know, like you said, it's an enjoyable film. You know, it has good moments, it has some slow-mo moments. I think the pacing, honestly, in this film is it's a lot slower than it was in the first film. But other than that, I'm gonna give it a 7. I don't see why people hate on this movie so much. It's not as bad as people make it out to be. So, you know, In terms of what comes next, this is like a 10 out of 10. But, you know, as of right now, this is a 7 for me.
Man, Zach, you're already hating on Jurassic Park 3.
Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched it in about 3 years.
Okay.
Sam Neill's in it, though. So
it's pterodactyls, but...
If you want to know what the 0.5 was, that was for just Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum? Nick, have you seen Jurassic Park 3?
I saw it in theaters, but I had not revisited it. There's a lot of movies I want to revisit. I just, you know, I'm a big horror guy, so that's most of my attention is like cinema.
Speaking of which, have you seen the new Firestarter that's on Peacock?
Peacock. You know, I've been on it. Zac Efron?
Yeah, you know.
No, me. I know. I think the real Juan wanted to kind of check that out. So maybe that'd be one of the future episodes.
Have you watched it yet, Johnny?
Have not. The 4-star rating that IMDb gave it kind of scares me just a little bit. But I'm like, you know what? It's Zac Efron. I enjoyed Brightburn, and Brightburn got like a lot of flack. So, you know, this is kind of like the same kind of visual powers as maybe a Brightburn. So, mm-hmm. and I didn't know that Zac Efron has powers as well. I've never seen the original, so I think it would be good for me to watch this before I even try the original. So especially since it's on Peacock, I think I might check it out.
Peacock.
Okay. Well, but I will leave it to that.
Did you check it out already, or are you even trying to?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Huh? I didn't know it was streaming until like last night.
I'll let you guys watch it and report back on what you think.
But Nick, you said episodes. Where can we find the Friday the 14th episodes every Wednesday?
On our channel, Emo Swall Productions. I want to say the audio, like for like Spotify and all that. I mean, cause the co-runner of the channel, he had said he would stop uploading some of the episodes, but I think I checked in, you know, like I saw one of our most recent episodes on there, so I was like, I don't know if he stopped fully, so I'm just gonna say we're still on audio. So anywhere you find podcasts should be on there.
Pet Cemetery was on there. Nice. Spotify. Yeah. Next Wednesday, we are talking May 25th, Sleepwalkers.
Sleepwalkers.
Stephen King, Friday the 14th, UHD. Are you excited, Nick? Have you seen that before?
I haven't. No. I think I've never seen bits of it, but never full on. I'm going to watch that with my cat.
Nice. So yeah, you guys, like I said, you can follow us. The Cinema Movie Podcast is on the Facebook page. You got some girthy giveaways. You can win digital copies, facebook.com/ The Cinema Movie Podcast. Our next episode, though, Monday, May 23rd, we're talking about Glory. Episode 194, starring Denzel Washington, Matthew Broderick. Every Memorial Day Monday, we do a war movie. But this year, I mean, we got to talk about Top Gun Maverick. So we're not going to do a war movie on Memorial Day Monday. So we're going to do it the Monday before. So
the cruise has reserved the Memorial Day episode.
Yeah, you can't push Tom Cruise out of the way. So Monday, May 23rd. 9 p.m. We're talking about Glory. It's the movie that won Denzel an Oscar, so I think it should be fun to watch.
Have you watched it, Johnny? Yet?
I haven't watched it lately. I checked it out probably about a year ago for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
So
I rewatched it, and it's going to be a fun conversation.
So, Glory 194.
Can you believe we're only six episodes away from our 200th episode?
200th?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Milestone.
Milestone. And that 200th episode falls on July 4th, honestly. So I think that's going to be pretty fun.
Nice.
Yeah. All kinds of different movies we can do. But I think it's obvious what we have to. We've never.
I know you want to. We've
never talked about Independence Day, and episode 200 falls on Independence Day. I think we have to talk Independence Day.
Is it Independence Day you want to talk about, or is it Jeff Goldblum again?
And you know what? It might be just Will Smith. I just want to see him slap an alien.
Will Pullman.
So yeah, and you know this was fun. This journey back into bonus episodes, whether you listen on the audio version or joining us here on the YouTube channel, which is now a second home and another home for us here. And I want to thank everybody for allowing us to come into your phones, your computer screens, wherever you watch this YouTube channel. A lot of great content, wrestling, horror podcast, unboxings. So I want to say thank you to Nick, Zach, for joining me, and I want to thank everybody who, again, allowed us to come onto this channel. So, great episode, and hopefully everybody enjoyed us reviewing and talking about the Lost World Jurassic Park. So,
next before Thursday, we go, can you believe, like, can you really believe that this movie's 25 years old? It's kind of hard to believe, honestly.
You know what? It went by super, super fast, though. Just like I said at the beginning, thinking about all the toys, the video games, the clothes,
merchandise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, and it's hard to believe that this franchise is this old. You know, almost what, 30 years old next year?
Yep, 30 years old from the, since the first movie next year. Yeah, that's crazy.
And then, you know, Jurassic World Dominion looks like it's going to just come in and just shatter the box office. In the first week of June. So I'm really interested to see if Dominion ends it or if Dominion just kind of makes it to where life finds a way 10 years from now.
It's going to take the Halloween run away.
Yeah. Yeah. Dead. So I don't know how it's going to end, but I'm interested to see. And, you know, even though Jurassic Park 3 got a lot of flack, and even though there's a lot of trash to be talked about it, probably – Next Thursday, 7 p.m., May 26th, I'm excited to hop back on here and talk about Jurassic Park 3. Yep. If you want to join us again, man, we're more than welcome to have you in. Or anybody else who wants to...
Nick's like, nah, I'm good.
Anybody else who wants to throw their name into the hat, we'll talk Jurassic Park 3 next Thursday right here on the... Cinema Movie Podcast bonus episodes. So
we're alive and well again.
Yeah, Nick, do you have anything you want to put in the final nail of coffin?
I know this episode was not it was not a sponsored episode.
Nope.
But I'm sponsored. No, man, it's not sponsored. It's sponsored by Dr. Avery.
There you go.
Jurassic World, little, you know, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Have you tried it before?
Not tried before, maybe that was. Came back in 2019, 18.
The Mysterio. Far From Home. Yeah.
A drink 65 million years in the making.
But now,
good, Nick or Zach. Do you have anything that you wanna add in before we jump into Glory on Monday or Jurassic Park 3 next Thursday?
No, I'm glad to be back doing the bonus episodes. I'm glad we're doing the Jurassic Park films leading up to Dominion. And, our Memorial Day episode, Glory, on Monday. So that'll be a fun conversation.
All right, guys. Again, thank you for joining right here. Bonus episodes on this YouTube channel, Monday. I guess we're back on it two days a week.
Yeah,
Mondays. And next Thursday, Jurassic Park Part 3. Thank you guys for joining. Thanks. And have a great week.
You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
Do I feel like it?